Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hey there, Poe. So that's clearly biblical talk, right? He also talked about opening the gates of hell. Did you guys hear about that? I'm going to connect my website right here, melissaredpill.com. You can find all of my links over there, and then you can follow us on the social media. I posted last night as fast as I could go about, but when you and I found out that what was happening to the children, that's when we stopped everything that was going on in our world. We said, that's the end of that. We're not putting up with this. So I just wanted you to see what happened yesterday with President Trump bringing out about the tariffs. And this is huge because he's charging 10 to 12% on 60 countries that are doing forced labor. That's what he's talking about. Forced labor. He's talking about the trafficking of children, the trafficking of women, the trafficking of people, whatever condition, whatever gender and age and all that. That is 60 countries. Did you guys see this? I want you to hear this clip, and then we'll talk about it.
Labor. The new levies will impact 60 countries that account for 99% of U.S. imports. Edward Lawrence, that's a big number. He's live from the White House. Hello to you, sir. Good morning.
Hello, Bill. And senior administration officials are saying that this does not replace the Section 122 tariffs that ended at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time this morning. However, the new tariffs come into effect the moment the old ones ended by law. Now, this is low-hanging fruit for the Trump administration, really, because multiple administrations have long tracked the use of forced labor in camps across the globe. Now, this is well documented. Based on the Section 301 report, the Trump administration put in place now tariffs ranging from 10% to 12.5% on 60 countries. Some market experts worry that the tariffs themselves, though, will put pressure on inflation.
So I understand why the president is...
Okay, whatever. Yeah, worrying about inflation when there are people in 60 countries that are in slave conditions. We're not going to have that in the Golden Age. Well, you know, I've written this book, The Golden Age, where I've talked about, and I need to make a whole new chapter of no more slavery. No more trafficking of children, you know, and anyway, I'm not going to go there, but I need to talk about that. But this has to stop. This will stop in the Golden Age. This is the end of human misery. The Bible says, eye is not seen and ear is not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. This Golden Age, this millennial kingdom of Christ on earth is going to be wonderful. It says, we'll look for our enemies and we won't be able to find them. The enemies are those who have enslaved humanity. And that's the very reason that you and I are in this fight, because we cannot allow this to continue on in humanity. This, you know, 17 said, trust humanity. We will not put up with this. And this is what these tariffs are about. This will end the human trafficking, the human suffering, the forced labor in 60 countries. President Trump's tariffs have been very effective. And if whoever does not comply with those tariffs, it'll just go up and up and up. He will ramp it up until this problem is solved. You cannot, don't ever doubt President Trump. He's going to get this solved. And I found it very interesting last night that he talked about a fourth term. I'm not going to go there right now. But anyway, what he has started will not end of the people and causing forced labor and untold misery and separation of families. I mean, it's just, this is the end of it. It's not going to happen anymore. So I wanted you to see that. So very exciting. So let's just stay tuned and relax. And that is over. Thank you, President Trump. So who, just give praise to the Lord. So exciting. So if somebody says it's still freezing, I don't understand what's going on. Let me try. Okay. Hopefully it's working now. Is it working now? Still frozen? Oh, this is terrible. I'm so sorry. Okay. Keeps freezing. Let's try. Hopefully that's going to be better with the Starlink. I have two internets at my house. At Freedom Force Battalion headquarters. And so I keep them because if one goes down, I'll have the backup. But I think that the other one just doesn't work nearly as well. So, yeah, great. Okay, thank you so much, Ginger. All right, so this is the promise throughout God's Word about, you know, what does the Lord say in His Word about slavery? What does He say that has happened with slaves? Because some people think, oh, well, they think it's okay. The Bible says it's okay to have slaves. This is the thing that the Bible teaches about slavery, is that there are some who have become debt slaves because they put themselves into debt servitude, okay? Just think about someone who, you know, has a job, but then they just spend money that they don't really, you know, need to spend because they're just trying to live this large, fantastical lifestyle, and they put themselves into debt slavery. There's, you know, that if you, you know, someone has just, you know, all these, this credit card debt because they just lived an extravagant lifestyle. That's what you call, what it really is talking about in the Bible about debt slavery. And people would end up debt slaves because they couldn't pay off their debts. And so they would have to work for someone until they paid off their debts. There's another one, which is the forced labor. And, you know, technically what happened with the Israelites in Egypt was that they were brought into Egypt, and they were forced into debt slavery. They were forced into putting them. They didn't live an extravagant lifestyle. They just were, you know, paid less and less and less, and put into a position where they just had no power, and they were forced into slavery, and so for 400 years. So that is where the Egyptians, it talks about, were their oppressors. They did not, you know, do this of their own volition. It was forced on them. They were forced labor. And that's what President Trump is talking about. All right. But there are some who in the Bible talks about this person was a slave, and that person was a slave because they were paying off their legitimate debts. So there's a difference. And so that's why, you know, when you're reading the Bible about slaves, I'm going to just show you some of the verses. Here it talks about, you know, just be very careful what you read, because you don't want to, take it out of context. Excuse me. You can be sure your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land. They will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. We know that about God's people. The Israelites were enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. And then here, let's just a little farther. This is something different, but you know, Joseph being put into slavery. Well, he was put into slavery. He was sold by his own brothers into slavery, which was not of his own will. And it's really a symbolic picture of that he didn't do anything to deserve it, and he was put into this position as a slave, like so many of these people in these 60 countries. So here is, let's see, a little farther down, when you go into like the New Testament, it talks about slaves a lot. Here's where in Genesis 44. If you remember this whole episode where the brothers were coming to Egypt, and they didn't realize that was Joseph that they were talking to, and so they realized that he was going to take Benjamin, and he was testing them. Remember that? And so at this point they said, well, we'll just give ourselves over to you as slaves, and you know, because we can't, you know, we have, you know, you clearly have the right to enslave us because our brother has stolen this goblet. So it's that mentality that it's hard for us to really think of in this day. But, you know, they were saying, well, we're indebted. We'll have to just work off our crime. So, you know, the Bible talks a lot about these types of things. He says, oh, no, only the one who stole the cup will be my slave. So I just wanted you to see in the Bible what it talks about as far as far as slavery. And there is a, you know, paying off a debt. People talk about someone going into prison and paying off their debt to society. We don't really call it slavery, but they're having to pay off their debt to society. Anyway, so I hope that's helpful. Obviously, what President Trump is doing is not because of someone having a debt to society. It's because they have been oppressed and forced into this position, forced labor, slavery. Okay, so just to differentiate between the two. All right. So the next thing I wanted you to see is, you know, in the Bible it talks about this golden age that we are going into. Yay, it's much better. Yay. In the golden age, there won't be any slaves. There won't be any debt slaves. And there's going to be for two reasons. Because we won't be in these financial straits where someone's going to financially in debt themselves because of one thing or another, these hardships. You know, there'll be plenty. And then number two, there won't be the ability for the cabal will be gone, but there won't be anyone who is forcing labor on anyone. This is about this beautiful golden age, the Jubilee. If you really, the whole point of Jubilee, or some, you know, in modern day, we like to call it Gasara, is that it's the cancellation of debts. Cancellation of debts means no one has to be in debt servitude, debt slavery. And so this is the whole point of Golden Jubilee, is all your debts are canceled. So this is what I hope you enjoy about, you know, really understanding what President Trump is talking about. No more forced labor. He's really talking about there's going to be no more forced servitude of being in debt up to your eyeballs. The Bible says that those who are the debtor are the slave to the lender. Hang on. They're the slave to the lender. This is how we feel if we're in a terrible debt situation. It feels like you are just underwater. You're in a slave position. And so President Trump is saying, no more of that. That's really what is at the whole crux of this, is that no more will we be in a position where we can't get the jobs because the jobs are going to overseas to people who are being enslaved. We're being enslaved here and they're being enslaved there. And the only ones who are getting the benefit are the cabal. I want you to see that. All right. So that was the first thing. And then I've got a tickle. I may not be able to continue. All right. So the next thing is about this black swan. There's no doubt about it that Dan Scavino, with this funny grin on his face, is posting a picture of himself with a black swan in the background. What's up with that, Dan Scavino? Clearly, he's sending us a message. Okay, so there's the big picture. This was on his Facebook page. You know, I'm very, very careful before I post anything. I saw it, and I'm like, I don't see it on his ex. It was on his Facebook page. It says, "The journey continues, Air Force One." Now, just, you know, everybody was pointing out this black swan, and so I want you to see what is a black swan event. All right, so here is, where did I put it? And where did it go? That's not the one. Let me just go back to this one. Black swan. Where did I put it? There, it explains here what a black swan event is. Let's just go back to this real quick. I'm going to find this link real quick for you because I want you to see what a black swan, I want to read it to you exactly. Bear with me real quick. Find this link for you. This one right here. This link right here, why is there a black swan in the photo that Dan Scavino posted on Facebook today? A black swan event is an unpredictable, rare occurrence with a massive impact that fundamentally alters society or financial markets, popularized by finance professor and former trader Nassim Nicholas Taleb. These anomalies catch everyone off guard, but are often rationalized in hindsight as being obvious. Right, so that, yeah, here's the picture. Here's where it talks about this black swan event. It's a rare occurrence, massive impact alters society or financial markets. So you guys tell me what you guys think over in the chat now that it's working. I want you guys to tell me, what do you think that this possibly could be? Do you think this is going to be something that fundamentally alters society or financial markets or both? It could be a financial reset, especially, you know, with him talking about the tariffs and how they're, you know, this could really cause the collapse of the banking cartel. We know that the price of silver going up and the price of gold going up, it has broken their backs. We feel like, those of us who are watching, we know that they're financially done, that they can't pay off their debts. At some point, it's going to have to crack. But it's not going to hurt. It's not intended to hurt us. It's intended to break them and to set us free. That's the whole point. It's intended for us to go across the Red Sea into the Promised Land and for them to be covered over and washed away. So the financial markets, and when I mean financial markets, I'm not saying, oh, well, you've got an investment in, you know, this particular company and you're going to lose all your investment. I believe it's going to be something that will rip the financial security away from this criminal cabal somehow. Okay? And I think a lot of it is because of their shorting the silver and the gold, and the gold and the silver have gone up so much in value. Yes, they've come down a little bit lately, but still, it's way beyond what they can pay off because they have all this paper debt. And at some point, it's going to have to, something's going to have to give. That's what it seems like to me. And it's going to definitely alter society because we're moving into the golden age where they can no longer control the media. We can't continue to have them control the media. Look at this thing that happened last night. It's absolutely outrageous to see what they've been doing for so long, controlling what, you know, whatever President Trump says. Just the other day, you know, he had a speech and they refused to show President Trump's speech. So that cannot continue. It cannot continue where they control the financial markets. And they've done so many things to dismantle the power structure, such as these tariffs and such as these, you know, what's going on in the Middle East, going on in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, and control and taking away their power to control the OPEC. We know that OPEC is dead. So it's only one more little flick and it will come crashing down. Again, not to harm you, but to harm their power over us. Okay? And for us to be finally set free. There has to be some black swan event that will do that. So I don't want you guys to be afraid. The ones who need to be afraid are the cabal, right? That's who needs to be afraid. All right, so I want you to see that. And so it says that it catches everyone off guard, but it's often rationalized in hindsight as being obvious. And so I'm telling you, before it happens, this seems obvious that this has to happen. And so one thing or another is going to break the dam and burst through and wash them away so that they are no longer oppressing us in America and people all over the world. Their whole power structure is going to collapse. And this is what it talks about in God's Word. Let me show you this this passage here. It talks about getting mixed up. It talks about Revelation 19. Let me scroll down a little bit to the bottom. Let me back up to this one. I'm going to connect it also to where he also talked about open the gates of hell. And this is where he's talking about, it appears, these opening the gates of hell to fire from hell onto the people in Iran. Because I don't think that's what he's saying. When you say open the gates of hell, the vision that each of us has really from that is that demons would be released. And demons will come and fight fight and to be destructive. Isn't that the vision that you guys have when it talks about opening the gates of hell? You know, that's really the vision that people have, I think. But I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he's saying, and I posted this, I think he's saying open the gates of hell and have and throw the cabal in. And I think that's really what this is about. This black swan event is about opening the gates of hell so that these people are brought to judgment. You know, is the black swan event about them being arrested? Is it about their assets being removed from them so that they no longer have any of this power? Is it about this financial reset? Is it about, you know, the debts being canceled so that they no longer can control humanity with through the money system, their fakey shaky money system? I think that this, it's talking about open the gates of hell, is a very strong biblical message. And I think you'll really enjoy it. Let me show you what it says in Revelation chapter 19. It says, and the beast was captured. We know the beast is this New World Order criminal cabal. That's who the beast is. If you're new to this and you're not familiar with this, that's really how I've decoded the book of Revelation. We've identified the Antichrist. He said that he would be revealed when his time comes. Well, the time has come for them to be revealed. And now we know this New World Order is this criminal cabal. They're this Antichrist of the and the beast of Revelation. So it says the beast was captured and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast. And I've talked about this, that who's the false prophet? The false prophet are those who are joined in league with them to lie for them, like the media, like the false church, the controlled church. And they keep pummeling out these lies to the people so that to keep the people deceived. It says that, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Remember, those who have accepted the mark are those who've joined in league with them to destroy humanity, not you and me. The mark of pure evil, the mark of the beast is the mark of pure evil that they would choose to do like what Fauci did, to literally poison humanity. This is, they've joined in league to do such a thing. That's the mark of the beast. You have not done that. You did not take the mark of the beast. These people who've done evil have taken the mark of the beast. They've joined in league with the beast. They've joined in league with the top bloodline families to do these evil things to humanity and to lie and just to deceive humanity. And then it says, both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This, I believe, is what he's saying here, opening the gates of hell. Is that what you guys first thought of? Now, maybe you did. Maybe that's what you thought of when you first saw that. But, you know, I think that most people have a different view of when they think of opening the gates of hell. Opening the gates of hell is opening the gates, and that's why I put it on here, and throw the cabal in. We don't want demons, more demons out. We want all the demons to go in there and slam the door. And that's what it talks about in the book of Revelation. It says that the beast and the false prophet, the ones who lied for them, were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, into hell. And their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding on the white horse. And the vultures, that's us, were gorged. They gorge themselves all on the dead bodies. We're like, charge to destroy them, to destroy these evildoers. Now, in chapter 20 of Revelation, it says, then the angel threw him into the bottomless pit, talking about Satan, threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked, so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. Again, open the gates of hell so we can throw these in. Be done with them. That is what I think is happening. What do you guys think? Give me your thoughts. I want to see them on the chat. What do you think? Do you think I'm what he's saying is we are done with these people? It's time to throw them in. It's time to open the gates of hell and put all the evil, all the demons, all the evil things that have been going on, put them down so that finally the earth can be at rest. That the poor people who've been under forced labor can be free all of humanity will be free. I do have a chapter in the book, Golden Age, about that we will have the Golden Age of Freedom. And that means everyone in the whole world. All right. It is also similar to what it talks about in the book of Daniel. I always love to go back to Daniel chapter, I think it's chapter 7. Let me see real quick. Yeah, it's Daniel chapter 7 about the four beasts. And it says here, I love this. It says, got off the page. It says, a little farther down, maybe. I highlighted it. Yay. It says, then the court will pass judgment and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. Again, if they're gone, if they're locked into hell somehow, whatever that means, they're gone from this earth, executed, removed, their power taken away. That's what this verse is talking about. After we have revealed, then they're destroyed, and their power over humanity, over all these poor slaves all over the world, is completely destroyed. A beautiful thing. And so I just wanted you to be encouraged by what we're seeing. Be prepared with this black swan that Dan Scavino put out there. He knows exactly what he's doing. And so just be prepared for something like that. And well, I don't know when and I don't know how, but this is just to as much as we can to be prepared for it. And know that whatever happens, that it's going to be wonderful for us. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. It's going to be wonderful for all of humanity. All right. Now, let's go on to a head for an eye. Okay, so this one is going to be more complex. Okay, y'all ready for this one? A head for an eye. I want you to hear what Rubio had to say about this. He said the president's policy is a head for an eye. Check this out.
Do you rule out striking civilian infrastructure?
I saw Araghchi, their foreign minister, who...
Clarification. Do you rule out striking civilian infrastructure?
The other day say or something about their policies, an eye for an eye. The president's policy is a head for an eye. I mean, honestly, that's what it's going to be. I mean, they will pay a very heavy price for the things they're doing. They're already paying a very heavy price. You guys don't know it because you don't cover it. You're not in Iran. You're not in the street. They don't have a free media. But they're going to continue to pay a very heavy price. Their industrial base has been decimated. Their defense industrial base has been decimated. They're losing launchers. They're losing radars every single night. They are suffering billions of dollars in damage, and their economy is a disaster. But despite all that, okay, these people who are calling us every day, begging, let's do a deal, they send us messages through other countries, third countries. I mean, they're running out of countries to send. Even I had countries here coming up to me, I just spoke to the Iranians, they want to do a deal. The problem is, every time these people do a deal, they either break it, or after they make it, they want to change the deal. So they're probably not ready to do a deal yet, but they will be soon. Because the price they're paying is very high, despite their tough talk and their flowery language and their stupid Lego videos they put out. I've never seen them, but they put these things out on social media. Despite all that bravado, they are suffering tremendously, and they're going to suffer more until they come to their senses. They're not there yet.
Okay. So I appreciate Marco Rubio. He's doing an amazing job. Again, he's saying they're not ready yet, but they will be soon. Again, goes back to this black swan event, something happening that will break their power. Again, we know that this Iranian regime is the head of the New World Order. This is the proxy for the New World Order. They always do that. They use someone else so they can blame the IRGC for what they are doing. And I'm going to talk about what the King Charles is doing. He's using a proxy right now, but I'll tell you that at the end of the show. But, you know, Marco Rubio is saying here that President Trump's policy is a head for an eye. Okay, so the Bible says in the book of Exodus, let me see if I can pull this one up. Yes, in Exodus, it says an eye for an eye. Okay. Well, got to find it again. Okay. Okay, sorry about that. Find it. Add it over here. Fair treatment of slaves. Okay. Find it. I thought I had it highlighted. Bear with me real quick. I'm going to find it. An eye for an eye. Thanks for being patient with me. I try to get everything ready, but sometimes when I make this screen smaller so I can fit on the screen, it disappears. It kind of gets squished. Okay, it's Exodus 21, 24. All right, here we go. Right here. There we go. So this in the book of Exodus is after the people left Egypt and they were headed into the promised land. The Lord gave Moses not just the Ten Commandments, but he gave him a lot of different laws to be able to sort out problems that they would have amongst themselves. And so they established legal code. And so here is where it says in Exodus chapter 21, verses, let's just say, starting with 23. But if there is a further injury, the punishment must match the injury. The punishment must match the injury. A life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand. So let's just say, you know, if someone took a life, their life would be taken. They would be executed if they took a life. You know, intentionally. Obviously, if it was an accident, that's another story. If they, you know, intentionally knocked out someone's eye, they would have their eye knocked out. I mean, it's the standard in jurisprudence where it's a fair, equitable justice for a crime. If you stole $10,000, you have to recompense that plus interest, et cetera. You have to, make that person whole. Okay. A foot for a foot. I mean, it's about standards of jurisprudence. You don't kill someone if they harm someone's foot or their eye. Okay. All right. So that is what it talks about in the book of Exodus. So why in the world is President Trump talking about a head for an eye? It's because what this group is doing is that, yes, these three brave men and women were killed, and it's horrible, and it's heartbreaking, and I'm so sorry for the family members who lost their loved ones, and it was four people. It's not enough when the IRGC, the New World Order proxy, is holding the world hostage. It's not enough for them to just lose four of their people, of the IRGC people. They're going to be decimated. A head for an eye, it means we're going to wipe them out. Because it wasn't as terrible as it was. It wasn't just that they've killed these four soldiers. It's that they are enslaving humanity. They are holding the whole world hostage to their evil regime. And this is where we're going to knock them completely out. That is what I believe President Trump is talking about when he says a head for an eye. What do you guys think? I think that's what he's talking about. So I don't want anyone to think, oh, well, President Trump doesn't believe the Bible because the Bible says an eye for an eye. He's saying a head for an eye. He's saying we're going to knock them out so they can no longer harm anyone. They can no longer not only kill people with these missiles, they can no longer control the world commerce, in other words, controlling forced labor and controlling this commerce. That's really what he knows is that the top of this thing is not just these one missile. It's the control of the world commerce and the control of people being enslaved. That is why he hasn't done this to this point. All to this point, he has never done these tariffs against human slavery. We've been wanting to get these, you know, yes, they've gone and they've searched for the children and all of that. But to really take an axe to this terrible scourge of human trafficking and human forced labor, he has not done because he didn't have all the pieces in place to do it. And finally, he does. For him to come out and say, cause these tariffs on anyone who's doing this forced slavery is telling us we're at that moment where this will end. It's a huge moment in time. So just enjoy, you know, be thankful for every moment that goes by that we are getting free one pixie stick at a time, and just enjoy and give thanks for each moment. Despise not the day of small things. All right, so I'm going to show you also before we leave this topic. This is what our Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount about an eye for an eye. And so others might say, he doesn't believe in Jesus because Jesus said, don't resist an evil person. Okay, then just come in and let someone kill you. You know, come on. That's clearly not what Jesus was talking about. What Jesus was talking about here, and I'll read this passage to you. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter. What chapter is this? Chapter 6? Chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Okay, what is Jesus? What is he really saying here? And what is the standard that we use? Do we say, oh, well, you've bombed this city, go ahead and bomb this other city? Clearly, that's not what he's talking about. Clearly, someone could take this to the extremes. What he's saying is this. Let's say you have a difference with someone, and you have a dispute with someone. And this is what we're always working toward as Christ followers. We're always working toward a resolution. We're not looking for a pound of flesh. We're not looking for a tooth. We're not looking for an eye. We're not looking for someone to, you know, to mete out justice on them. We're trying to restore the relationship. We're trying to work things out. And so if you have, you know, it may be if you offer them the other cheek, they'll go, I really don't want to hit their other cheek. That's what your hope is. That if you are kind to them in response to their evil, it'll wake them up. That's really what you're hoping, if you're kind to them. And so what he's asking us to do is to not just grind someone and try to diminish them or embarrass them or whatever, but to try to find, how can we come together? How can we reason together? How can we meet? And how can we come to a resolution? That's really what Jesus is saying. He's saying, work toward peace with all men, insofar as it's possible with you, right? That's what he said. Insofar as it's possible, be at peace with all men. And so we don't always have to get recompense, every little, you know, thing paid back. And you know, okay, you said 5 mean things to me. I'm going to say 5 mean things back to you, because that'll make it fair. That's not what we're after. Jesus is saying, you know, like you said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And to have pity on the person, because that person, you know, for whatever reason, you know, blew off the handle and did something, and maybe hopefully they regret it. Now, I will tell you, if someone doesn't regret it and they think that you are their whipping boy, then you hold them to an account, and you're not their whipping boy or their whipping girl. So I just wanted to kind of go through that, because here they are talking about this amazing passage, and I think it's highly misunderstood. And so I was trying to make sure that really comes, that helps you guys in your world. What do you think? Right? Yes. I love that. Songbird, I will bend over backwards if we can all come to the table. I love that. Thank you, Songbird. Yes. If someone's willing to truly, you know, repent and work for restoration, that's all we're after. That's all we're after. We just all want to get along, right? But if someone thinks that they can just, you know, I'm not talking about if someone's trying to harm you, that you just let them harm you. That's not what Jesus was saying either. Okay. All right. So if you like this type of information, please hit the like button right now. If you haven't already done that, let's see if I have a little like button somewhere. There it is. Make sure you hit the subscribe. Make sure that you like. And I apologize if this video didn't go well. Hopefully the information that you heard was good, even if it's if it was glitchy before. I hope it's not glitchy now. But hit the like button, subscribe, and make sure that you share. I hope this is something that you'll really it's beneficial to you and others, and so to share with others. So these are my books. And I really am so thankful to have been able to write them. And I hope that you will enjoy, you've enjoyed them too. Don't forget, I'm going to pop these links over into the chat. So if you don't mind, go ahead and put reviews over there and you can share them. You can actually send someone the book on an email if you think that they would like to see some really good news about what is going to happen in the Golden Age. These are God, just basically God's promises that are going to happen in the Golden Age, the Millennial Kingdom of Christ, and also the Decode of Revelation, as well as Major Clues from Minor Prophets. These are minor prophets that most people have not read. And the reason that they have not been read so much is because I don't think the cabal-controlled church really wanted us to read them. And I think it was hidden from me for many, many years. And now I realize they were talking to us in this day that we would defeat these enemies. We would cast them out. We would wake up. We'd realize who our enemies were, and we would cast them out. And that's where we are. And just, I'm so thankful that we know that these books are no longer hidden from us. And also, just like I was saying before, this is biblical. Like I was saying before about we're going across the Red Sea, and all these Bible stories that we have heard were a roadmap for us that we're going to enter the promised land, the golden age of Christ on earth. So here's the link. Thank you, my name, 66, exactly, Melissa. I knew I was right. I've been, you know, in this game for a good long time, and I've learned what the Lord really, you know, what these things mean in practice, not just book learning. All right, here is the page, freedomforce.live/endtimes. If you want to see some more information about that, watch some little videos, snippets of that. Definitely go and check on that page right there. And also definitely go into this page right here, freedomforce.live/video category, and you will see these studies that we have done on end times. And you can watch 28 videos on end times, verse by verse by verse, and it will help you. I'm telling you, if you haven't done it in a while, you might need to go back and look at it again, because it takes a while to unlearn the wrong things that we had learned. But you'll see various playlists that we have on ancient texts, archaeological discoveries, biblical astronomy. We've got this one is on the minor prophets. So what I really encourage you to do is get the books and do the homework. There's the study guide here, and do the study guide, and then you can even get the answer key if you want to. And don't get the answer key without the study guide. I don't want you to cheat. And then you will then you can, you know, watch these videos, and we did them together verse by verse by verse. And I think it'll answer most any question that you have about end times, and really encourage you and bless your heart and help to give you so much confidence about where we are headed in this amazing golden age. All right. Last quick thing we're going to talk about is that, Harmeet Dhillon is amazing. I'm so thankful for her. I want you to hear what she had to say, and then we'll talk about it. They can't blame this on a software glitch. Check this out.
Well, we do. It's actually closer to 30 states. 20 states have given us their voter rolls voluntarily, and we've found hundreds of thousands of people on those voter rolls who shouldn't have been there. Now, since the governor made this announcement, we've opened up an investigation. We asked her to disclose to us the names of the 6,600 individuals who were wrongfully put on the voter rolls, and then the 400 who voted knowing that they weren't entitled to. And today she hasn't responded to us yet, but she did tell the New York Times and others that she wasn't going to give us that information because, quote unquote, we would weaponize it, and she doesn't trust us with the data. Well, who can't be trusted with data, Governor Sherrill? It seems like it's actually New Jersey, because these people said they weren't entitled to vote, and then you put them on the voter rolls in your state, blaming the vendor, calling it a glitch, etc. It is the job of the election officials, not some data vendor, to determine citizenship when they put people on the voter rolls. That's federal law. And it also sounds like, Liz, the state allowed these people to stay on the voter rolls for more than a year after they knew that they weren't legally entitled. That is a violation of federal law, too, federal criminal law. So we're looking at this very carefully.
And you may take it to the Supreme Court. So Homeland Security found more than 250,000 illegal aliens on just 4 state voter rolls. You know about this: California, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Nevada. You know, we did a deep dive. 25 states do automatic voter registration at the...
All right, so that's amazing. Thank you, Harmeet Dhillon. She's going after these states. 20 of the states have already given up the voter rolls to Harmeet, so she can check them and make sure that there's not illegal immigrants on the voter rolls. But the other 30 have refused. What does that tell you? And they're like, oh, you can't be trusted with this. Who's the one who can't be trusted? You guys allowed them through your DMV. Oh, this software glitch that these people were registered to vote who did not have the right to be a registered voter. And not supposedly not all of them voted. We want to get to the bottom of it. You know, this is a big way that they are using to cheat. And she is not going to let this go. So I really appreciate that. She's preparing to go to the Supreme Court to force dozens of non-compliant states to turn over and purge their voter rolls of non-citizens. So every which way, we are getting this all straightened out. So I'm really appreciative of her. They're still working on this. This is like the last week that they have before the recess in the Senate to do the America First, Save America Act. So I really encourage you to contact Thune and tell him we want this passed immediately. You can email him. I just posted this the other day, but email him, text him, call him, you know, send a carrier pigeon somehow or another. Everybody jump on that. Make a note. Don't forget to jump on that. All right. So before we go, I'm going to talk about this tomorrow because our time's running out. But King Charles is up to his funny business again. They always use a proxy so that they look like they're pure as the driven snow. Of course, we agree with President Trump, and you are a sovereign country. Of course, you're a sovereign country. He's using Canada this time to do his dirty work, just like his New World Order buddies are using the IRGC in Iran to do their dirty work. We're not fooled. We're not fooled. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to connect those dots for you tomorrow. So we'll talk about that. All right. So we're also going to talk about tomorrow, President Trump at this, some of his funny things that he said. And I'm just going to show you one of my favorite ones. This is where he's talking about Bobby Kennedy, whom we adore. Check this one out.
They got to enjoy their entire very delicious beef tenderloins, very special beef. And I want you all to know that Bobby Kennedy is right here, personally ran over the cow in his car. Really? And he cut it up and he brought it here for you to eat tonight. So it's very fresh. And Bobby also suggested an appetizer featuring his favorite cut of male raccoon roadkill. But we drew the line at that, Cheryl. We said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not doing that. We love Bobby. I'll tell you, he's a piece of work. You think it is fun, but he is a very different kind of a person. I will tell you. But he has what it takes, and he's smart, and he loves the country, and he wants people to be made to feel good. Do you agree with that, Bobby? He wants people to feel good, and he's doing a fantastic job. Thank you, Bobby.
Yes, thank you, Bobby. Oh, that was awesome. I just love that. He just ran over it, the car, and brought it, so it's fresh. It's so great. And he's talking about how he's working to make America feel good. He is up against the big boys, the big pharma, and unbelievable wrestling those two snakes. Remember when he picked up those two snakes? He's wrestling these serpents. He really is. And he's a different kind of guy. And it takes a different kind of guy. It takes someone who is tough and who can take all of this grief and just keep going. He's a different kind of guy, and I'm just very, very thankful for him. If you want to know more about what I have discovered from all, very much what RFK believes, here's my health page right here, and I'm just very thankful to be able to compile this for you. These are some of the amazing therapies that will truly tend toward your healing. This is why he's wanting fresh meat. He wants us to have fresh nutrients. He wants us to have the true nutrients in us because that makes your body strong. He wants us to have this silver solution. One of the guys who's been on my show, Doug Godkin, is one of the ones who works with RFK because he knows that that will purge out of us this fungus that gives us a condition that is ripe for disease and cancer, etc. It weakens our cell walls. So these are the kinds of things that will make your body resilient against all this evil that the big pharma has perpetrated against us. I was just saying the other day, and I think you might have seen it, is that Rockefeller took over the medical industry and used all of his money to take over and call what this is right here quackery, calling it quackery. And the reality is this is the true healing, true health, true nutrition. This is what RFK is working toward. And what they're trying to do is the quackery. That's the truth. That's the truth. It's a, you know, think mirror. It's what they're saying about us is actually what they are doing. It's absolute quackery. So yeah, this one right here. Yes, Mr. Wonderful, as wonderful as he is, yesterday brought me home a cold. We share everything. But I have been doing this. I have been, yeah, I've got, you know, you saw my water. I put the probiotics in the water and it is amazing. I just, it tastes so wonderful. It tastes like spearmint. And it also is, it passes the gut and it doesn't get messed up in the stomach. It passes the stomach. And so it goes into your gut and it heals your intestines. Amazing. And so I really encourage you to check into that, because most of the probiotics that you get on the store are, go on the video and you can see more about it. Most of them do not pass your stomach. They get destroyed in the stomach. But what I did when he gave me this cold, and I made him a little bottle too, is we put a little bit in a bottle, a little bit of these probiotics in the bottle. I will use this one right here, this mouthwash. Put a little bit in a bottle. Try this. Put it in, if you already have it, or get some. I just got like three more bottles. I'm like, I want to have this ready for, you know, and hand it out to my friends. Put in a little bottle, put in their distilled water, and squirt that up your nose. It purges out that cold. Oh my goodness, I'm so happy. I'm so happy, because no more are we going to have a cold for weeks on end. They know this. They know that the treatments that they have for colds don't work, and that they just cause it to be misery for weeks. When they know that I'm scared to say the word cure. They've made cure like it's a bad word. But the true way to be well, they know it, and they hide it from us. So I'm putting all this right out here. Also, check out I'm not going to say the word, but all this over here. This one right here, I'm circling the CD. Amazing. Purge and detox all this out of you to help your body be strong. Okay, definitely check into it. I'm really excited. My husband was like, "What is this? You're making me put up my nose." I said, "Try it." He got over it like that. Like that. Amazing. But you got to nip it. As soon as you feel that first tickle, you got to start knocking it out. Okay, I think that's everything. That's everything I had to share with you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're revealing to us and helping us to bypass all that the enemy has tried to harm us with. We thank you, Lord, for our wonderful president. We thank you for Robert Kennedy. We thank you for all these on the front lines. Thank you for Marco Rubio speaking all this truth. Thank you that we will destroy them just like you promised in your word, and they'll no more will they be able to harm us. And Lord, I just ask you to prepare us, help us, no matter what kind of black swan event happens, no matter what happens, we just completely trust your plan, and we know that we're going to cross over this Red Sea, and we're going to enter into this promised land just like you promised. You said that for us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we believe that that's what we're going to see. We're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We're going to see the earth filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. We're going to see, just like you promised, that we won't have to tell our neighbors to know you, but they'll all know you from the least to the greatest. And they will all be able to sit under the same fig tree and visit with each other. And there won't be all this animosity and confusion and deception. No more deception for 1,000 years. All these promises in your word. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that in the golden age, there won't be any more glitching internet. Everything is going to work great. But Lord, we just thank you that you have guided us all this way to this point. You've kept us safe. You've kept us in the fight, and that nothing has stopped us, because you continually hold us up by your spirit. You are with us every step of the way. Lord, we can't even talk about it because we're just going to start to cry. They're just so thankful, so thankful. We, none of us here deserve to have been chosen for this. We don't deserve to be chosen for this. We don't deserve to be fighting alongside you in this battle. But we're just so thankful. We'll always know that you chose us to be your fighters. What an honor, what a blessing. Lord, whatever we've had to suffer, it's fine. It's fine. We do not mind it one little bit. We don't mind it. You said that if we love anything more than you, we're not worthy of you. I hope and pray that we have shown ourselves to be worthy of you, because you are the one who is truly worthy. You are the one who alone can truly cast these demons into hell. Thank you, Lord, that you're opening the gates of hell so that we will cast them out, cast them into hell, and slam that door and lock it. Thank you, Lord, that you have those keys to do that. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. Love you guys. I'm so glad we have each other. I just appreciate you so much. Don't forget, I will see you tomorrow at 11 a.m., right? Okay? Central Standard Time. And we'll be talking about more good stuff. All right? I love you guys. And I will talk to you later.
Dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.